as any good preacher will tell you, reminding the congregation every now and then about things that we've talked about or things that we've learned, it's pretty important. That's what this message is all about today. We're going to look at the things that we've talked about over the course of our Level Up series. And just as a reminder, for those of you who are new with us this morning, we have been talking over the course of the last 6 weeks about things that will help us to level up in our relationship with God and in our understanding of who He is and how we live that life out. We want to see if we have truly been getting closer to that finished product that Paul talked about in our scripture reading this morning. We want to think about where we were when we started compared to where we are now. So, I want to go over what we talked about, and then I want to issue you one last challenge, all right? In our first week together in this series, we did an introduction, and we talked about Philippians 1, 3 through 11, and how God is building us up to perfection. He wants us to become like Christ, and so Paul's point of saying that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. And so God is working in us every single day, every single week, every single month, every single year of our lives to bring us to a point where we are more like Christ. And so what are the things that we need to focus on so that we can help the situation instead of hinder the situation? We looked at our first week at prayer. Our memory verse on prayer was Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Did anyone memorize that? Nobody. Great. All right. Well, I didn't either. Luke 6, 2. Because I have a cheat sheet right here. Luke, look, this is called being honest, right? Okay, so Luke chapter 6 and verse 12 says this. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Now, why did I choose that as our memory verse? Well, because it speaks to the fact that Jesus Christ Himself, God in flesh, decided that prayer was pretty important. That communication with His Father was of primary importance, and that Jesus spent the night on a mountainside just praying. He didn't sleep. He just prayed. All right? And we looked at that week that prayer is challenged to each of us as individuals. Right? Individually, we have been challenged to pray. Matthew 6, 5 through 8 talks about that, that when we pray, right? And the idea is not if you pray, but when you pray. And every one of us is challenged to come to God in prayer. And then, of course, we have the responsibility to pray. We talked about practicing the presence of God, right? Realizing that He's always there with us, that not only is He there with us watching everything that we do, but He knows everything that we think. So He knows the motives behind the things that we do, right? Where we can fool other people and do things that are good, and people might say, oh, what a wonderful person that guy is. But we were really doing those good things, not because that's what God wanted us to do, but because we wanted you to think, oh, what a nice person that guy is. And it worked, but that's the wrong motive, right? God knows all of that stuff. And so because we know that, we spend time individually praying. And again, we talked about that idea of that constant prayer life. God speaking, us listening, our responding, us listening, and He responding to us. All right? So prayer is challenged to each of us individually, but it's also challenged to each of us as a church, corporately. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 8 talked about the fact that Paul wanted the people of Timothy's church and our church as well to pray for those in authority. We are to pray for people who are in authority over us. And listen, this is, I don't think I made this point when we talked about this when we were doing the message, but students, young people, kids, you know God wants you to pray for your parents? Gosh, well, that's a big one. Yeah, because they need your prayers. And here's the interesting thing, parents. You want to teach your kids to pray for you. Do you know why? Because God listens to the prayer of kids. God loves kids. And God will hear their prayers. And so when your kids start praying for you, and that also means that maybe you need to share your requests, prayer requests with your kids. That was extra. So no extra charge, though. Okay? That passage in 2 Timothy also told us that Paul wanted men especially, but people altogether, to start praying and to keep on praying that prayers be offered all the time. We need to do so from hearts that are holy. We need to prayers that come from right relationships, and that those relationships, when those relationships horizontally are right with each other and we begin praying together, then our vertical prayers become even more powerful. All right? And so we are charged individually, we're charged as a church, but our prayers also give us confidence. And we saw that in 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 to 15, that a prayer life, first of all, indicates relationship with God. And so if we're not praying, maybe there's a reason. Secondly, God promises that our prayers are heard, that when we have relationship with God and we come to Him and we talk, He listens, right? He opens His heart and He hears what we're saying. And we have confidence, and this is what 1 John says, that we have confidence that God will not only hear our prayers, but He will answer our prayers. Okay? That was our first week talking about prayer. Then we went on and we talked about Bible study, Bible reading. Our memory verse was 2 Timothy 3, 6 to 17. Anybody got that memorized? Oh, come on. Oh, Nancy, you got it? Yep. And then so that the servant of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So this is what we talked about when we talked about Bible reading. We talked about the Bible's usefulness, right? That first of all, we talked about the fact that it's from God, that the scriptures that we have are from God Himself. These are not made up by man. Now, they were written by men, to be sure. They were written by human beings, and as we also looked at 1 Peter, where Peter talks about the fact that all prophecy had its origins in God, and that the Spirit carried human beings along to deliver the messages from God. We know that it's from God Himself. But it's also useful. We talked about what teaching was. We talked about what rebuking was. We talked about what correction was. We talked about what training in righteousness was all about. And the fact that God's Word does all of those things for us so that we might become mature and complete, that we will be equipped for every good work, so that when God calls us to do the work that He wants us to do, we'll be ready to do it. It's pretty awesome when you think about it. So we looked at the Bible's usefulness. We also looked at the Bible's activity. And this was from the book of Hebrews, that the Word of God is living and active, right? That the Word of God is alive. The fact that it is, and again, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that this physical book, that there's something about this leather and this paper and the gold on the side, which is rubbing off quite a bit, or this, you know, little felt or a fabric marker in my Bible that makes it, this book, any more holy than any other. Because the last thing we want to do is start worshiping our Bibles. Right? But the thoughts and the words and the truths that are written in our Bibles, these are the things that will last forever. These are the things that are alive. These are the things that when they get into us, they begin to change us. And they are alive. And the fact that you can read a passage of Scripture on one day and glean something out of it for your life that day, and then 5 years later, you come to that same passage and you read it again, and it's something totally new, but it's the same word, but it's something totally different, and it applies to your life that day. And then 5 years from then, you read it again, and it's again a third thing. This is what it means that the Bible is alive, but it is also active. It is at work. It does its work, right? It says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And we talked about it being an offensive weapon in our battle, but we also talked about the fact that God uses that two-edged sword as a scalpel at times. It says that it is the judge of our thoughts and our intentions, of our motives, as we talked about in prayer, right? That our motives are sometimes not all that they're cracked up to be. God's Word cuts into us so that we can see exactly what our motives are and that we can become all that God wants us to be. So not only is it useful, does it have usefulness? Not only is it active, but it also has longevity. And again, this is what I was saying. And Jesus said, look, this world, will pass away and everything in it will pass away, but my words will last forever. Friends, I want you to understand that God's word, that the words, look, this Bible can be burnt up, right? Someone could set a flame to it and it's gone. But it will never take away what I hide in my heart. It will never take away the changes that it has made in my life, if I take it seriously. The longevity of God's word is absolutely, the thoughts and ideas of God's word are everlasting. We'll still be remembering Jesus' words, God's word in heaven. I believe that. We will continue to sing God's praises. And I think the Psalms are going to be our hymn book when we get to heaven. I think that's going to be awesome. I know there will be new songs as well. But it's going to be absolutely amazing when we get there. But God's word lasts forever. So that's what we talked about our second week. Our third week, we talked about giving. And as I said before, when we shared the message, I don't like preaching about giving, except that God's word talks about it. And so we have to preach about it every once in a while. Because I always think giving sermons are kind of self-serving for a pastor. Almost wish an elder would come up and preach a sermon on giving rather than the pastor. But our memory verse for that week was 2 Corinthians 9:6, which says, "Remember this, everyone who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and everyone who sows bountifully will reap bountifully." Or generously, as the NIV says. And so we looked at giving's purpose, and we looked at the principle of sowing and reaping as it relates to our memory verse there. We talked about giving hilariously, right? That God loves a cheerful giver, and that Greek word actually means hilarious. We talked about how we can be people who give even beyond our means. And when we look at how we give, and we think, I just, you know, people who say, I don't make enough money to give to the Lord. Well, listen, the money that you have been given is from the Lord anyway. So yes, you can. You do make enough money to give to the Lord, but you give hilariously. And the fact that God blesses us back isn't so that we can have more stuff or live more comfortably. It's so that we can be a blessing to others. And so we have been blessed to be a blessing. That's the purpose of our giving. But we also looked at that there's a prompting in giving that produces thankfulness. When we give, whether it's to the church or to another ministry, people are thankful. Look, twice a month I get a check from the church, and I'm thankful for that check. I'm going to be real honest. And I know that it's from what you give to the church, and I am so thankful and grateful to God, first of all, for providing me this opportunity to serve you, but also for the fact that my family can live. Now, it's getting tougher, right, for all of us, but I am thankful, and our giving prompts that thankfulness. And thankfulness then turns to praise, right? That when we're thankful for the gifts that we receive, it turns to praise, realizing that those gifts, while they're from your pocket, they're essentially from God, because He's the one who's prompting you to give to the church so that my family can have its needs met. So thank you. Again. And then there are those times when a note or something anonymously appears in my church mailbox out there, and there's some money in it, and I don't know where it came from, and I give praise to God for it because I know it's from somebody, because it just didn't show up there. God's not accountant. No, I'm kidding. God can do whatever He wants to, but it turns to praise. And as we praise, that demonstrates the power and the person of God, right? Then we looked at giving's importance. It's important for us to give because our giving supplies the needs of people. Our giving also validates our testimony that God is who He says He is. Because God gave, we give. God loved so much that He gave His Son. We love God that we give back to Him. We love each other that we give to one another. This is the importance of our giving. Giving is also important, as I just said a second ago, is because it's an imitation of God. So that's what we looked at in our third week together, which was actually our fourth week because we had the... Anyway, our next topic was community, and our memory verse was Ephesians 4:1, which says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And we looked at that, those first four verses of Ephesians 4, and we looked at the fact that we are to live worthy, that we have worth in how we live. Paul goes on to say to live humbly, right? To be humble, to live in gentleness, to live in patience, bearing with each other. That all of these things, that when we understand how to live in humility and how to live in gentleness and patience, that we begin to connect with each other in a different way, that we become more in tune with each other. That the worthiness that I have before God is not my own, it's in Christ. And the worthiness that you have is not because you're a great person, even though you may be, but because of your position in Christ. And so because we are both in Christ, and we are both worthy, we treat each other as such. We also live in gentleness. We treat each other not with harshness, but with gentleness. When we mess up, when we fall down, which we do, we treat each other with gentleness and with patience, bearing with those idiosyncrasies in each other's life that really tend to tick us off from time to time, if we're being honest. So we are to live worthy. We are also to live unified. And we talked about unity. We talked about the fact that unity comes from God, right? That we are unified not because we all agree on the same issues, because we don't. I know that for a fact. We're not unified because we all are a part of Grace Evangelical Free Church. That's not what unifies us. What unifies us is our faith in Jesus Christ. Our unity is complete in Christ, and it's all in our shared faith in Him. And so that's where unity comes from. So you and I can disagree about a lot of things and still be unified, because my faith in Christ is the same as your faith in Christ. If we're really believers in Jesus, that's the unity we have. So we are to live worthy, we are to live in unity, and we're also to live growing together. We talked about the fact that Christ gives gifts to the church, right? And that the purpose of those gifts are to equip the church. If you were with us this morning in life class, you know that that's exactly what we were talking about. And the outcome of that will be maturity and completion, that we will not be lacking anything, that God will take what He has given and He will use it to help us to become all that God wants us to be. So we talk, and we do that in community. We need each other to see that happen. All right. And then finally, last week we talked about sharing our faith, and our memory verse was 1 Corinthians 5:20, which says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." And we talked about starting with relationship, right? As Dave was mentioning earlier, the relationships that we already have, the relationships that we need to initiate, the relationships that we need to be on the lookout for, or the relationships that God pulls right into our driveway, right? All of those things are opportunities for us to share our faith. And this is something we didn't necessarily talk about last time, but I will talk about now. And that's this. Sometimes we need to share our faith with other Christians as well. And that was part of why we were sharing testimonies this morning about things that God has done and praising God for what He's done in our life. We talked about starting with relationship. Then we talked about continuing with our testimony and sharing our testimony, how we were before Jesus, how we met Jesus, and how we are now that we have Jesus. And again, we talked about it in much more detail last week, but the fact is that we talk about what difference Jesus has made in our lives. And that's vitally important if we are going to be sharing our faith with people. Again, whether they're pre-Christians or already saved. And then we followed up with challenge, right? We asked them to respond to the gospel. And if they say yes, we move on to discipleship. If they say no, we circle back around and do it again. These are the five components that we talked about, and we issued a challenge each week on how we could level up in that area and in turn level up in our walk with Christ. So I want to issue you the challenge for today. And again, just one challenge. And here it is. You ready? Have you leveled up? If you remember, way back, first of the year, I had challenged you to think about what level you were at. Whether it was 1, whether it was 5, whether it was 10, whether it was 20. I didn't care. I wanted you to think at what level you would put yourself in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I also challenged you to reach the next level by the time we reach the end of the series. Well, guess what? Here we are. So the question is, have you leveled up? Here's something that I've learned in my life. If you don't plan to succeed, you will inevitably fail. Maybe this morning you're sitting there and you can't answer this question. You might say, you know what? The answer to this question might be, no, I haven't in the last 6 weeks. That's okay. I want you to know that's okay. I love you. God loves you. Nothing has changed about that. But I don't want you to stop thinking about this question. There's a quote that I've heard, and some have attributed it to Wayne Gretzky. Some have attributed it to Michael Jordan. I don't know who initially said it. However, the quote does apply to what we're talking here, and that's this. You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. In other words, 100% of the shots that you don't take never have the opportunity to become a goal or a basket, depending on who said it. Another way to say this is this. You'll never reach the summit if you don't initiate the climb. You'll never reach the next level if you don't see it as a priority. And so, friends, here we sit. Here we are, 6 weeks removed from that initial challenge. And I want to say that if we're all sitting here this morning at the same level we are when we started, then why are we even going through these motions? Do you want to grow in your faith? Do you want to level up? Or are you satisfied with where your relationship with the Lord is? One of the most hideous words in the English language, at least in my opinion, is the word apathy. Apathy is a word that simply means that you've forgotten how to care. You simply don't care about anything when you're apathetic. Apathy means that you hold no interest in anything and that you've forgotten the things that you once thought were so incredibly important. And apathy is what will creep into your life when you become satisfied as a Christian. Satisfaction in the Christian life is one of the most dangerous places for us to be. Because when we become satisfied, we stop trying. When we become satisfied, we stop improving. When we become satisfied, the things that we've already attained become enough for us. The things that we know about God, the things that we know of God, the ways that He has blessed us and the ways that He has shown us Himself become enough. We simply, when we become satisfied with our Christian life, we become the proverbial frog in the pot. Do you remember that illustration? That if you take a pot of boiling water and you try to put a frog in it, he'll jump out every time because it's too hot. But if you take a pot of water at room temperature and put a frog in there, he'll stay in there. And then you put the pot on the heat, and as it begins to boil, the frog won't move because he doesn't realize that what's happening to him is that he is being cooked. This is what happens when we as believers become satisfied with where we are. The pot begins to boil and we don't even realize that we're slowly boiling to death. I believe that so much of the church in America has come to this point. That for the most part, Christians are willing to sit in the boiling water as we slowly die because we're putting up with so much evil all around us. We don't see the differences between right and wrong anymore. We don't stand for the principles that once taught us to renounce sin and stand for truth. We'd rather watch the TV shows that all our friends are watching as the worldviews of those shows begin to trump the truths of Scripture. Friends, never in all my years have I believed more that we need Christians who are not afraid to level up and become all that God has called them to be. So, where are you? What level are you at? What level were you at when we started? What level are you at now? If it's the same level, that's okay, but make the commitment now to change that. To make prayer and Bible reading and study and community and sharing your faith and giving all a part of your life so that your faith and your relationship with Jesus Christ will become all that God intended it to be. I know that God wants us to take a stand and to live for Him. He wants our relationship with Him and with each other to be more than it is right now. He wants us to go deeper, not just with Him, but with each other. We need each other. And we need to work together. We need to take the steps necessary to level up. Maybe you need today to find a friend in this church who will hold you accountable to these five things. That you can say to them, look, you know what? This is one area, whether it's prayer or Bible reading or giving or sharing my faith or whatever, that this is one of those areas that I'm having trouble leveling up in. Will you pray with me and help me so that I can become more the way that God wants me to be? We need to take those steps. We need to become accountable to one another. We need to help one another and encourage one another and pray for one another. We need to pray more. We need to read the Bible more. We need to give more. We need to live in community more. We need to share our faith more. We need to do the things that help us to level up in our walk with God and in our faith. Brothers and sisters, let's go for it. Let's go for it. Let's see what God will do as we pray more. Let's see what God will do as we read His Word and apply it to our lives more. Let's see what God will do when we choose to give hilariously. Let's see what God will do when we begin to live in community with each other for real, not just on the surface. Let's see what God will do when we begin sharing our faith. When we begin praying prayers like, God, bring unsaved people into my life, and they show up in our driveway the next day. God is with us. God has sent His Son, Jesus, and Jesus has sent us His Holy Spirit to walk day by day with Him. And you look at these things and you say, man, some of that is just impossible. Yes, on our own, it is impossible. But friends, can I encourage you with this truth? The power of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives within you. Think about that for just a second and go, woo! The power of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of every person who has Jesus as their Savior. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And the Holy Spirit is not confined by our apathy, although our apathy will tend to quench the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not hindered by our circumstances. The Holy Spirit isn't even hindered by the things that other people say to us on Instagram or Facebook. The Holy Spirit is not hindered by anything, really, except us. When we choose to not listen, when we put our fingers in our ears, when the Spirit starts to speak and go, la, 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 not listening to the Spirit. And I know that looks funny, but isn't that what we do a lot of the times when the Holy Spirit is prompting us to do one thing or another and we say, I don't want to do that, I'm going to lose this or this or this. Friends, can I tell you something? And I believe this with all my heart, and then I'll close in prayer. That I believe that whatever we sacrifice, whether it's a home, whether it's possessions, whether it's time, whether it's reputation, regardless of what it is that we sacrifice for the sake of Christ, that God will not blink twice to restore unto us at His proper time. This is the God we serve. The same God who was able to stop the sun in the heaven for Joshua when he was fighting the enemy. The same God who parted the Red Sea for the Israelites so they could walk through on dry ground and then closed it in on Pharaoh's army when they tried to come through too. The same God who brought fire from heaven to burn up rocks, wood, and meat totally doused with water? The same God who stood with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace? The same God who went before the Israelites and slaughtered an army so much greater than them simply because they had the faith to believe that God would?
Amen.
That this God that I've just described to you is the same God who lives today. He's the same God who called you to faith in Christ, and He's the same God who put His Holy Spirit into you. Don't fear leveling up. And don't ever become satisfied with where you are. Take that next step and see what God will do in your life. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you so much that we do not have to be wrapped up in the minutiae of this life. Lord, that we don't have to get so bogged down with all of our failures and our mistakes. Lord, yes, we do fail. We do make mistakes. But you are the God who forgives our mistakes. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be passionate about leveling up and going deeper with you. Lord, help us not to be satisfied with where we are. Help us to get with maybe even just one other person or two other people and to challenge one another to go deeper. Whether it's in prayer or Bible reading and study or giving or community or sharing our faith. Lord, regardless of what area that we need to grow in, help us to grow. Not necessarily for our sake, although we will be blessed because of it, but Lord, for your honor and for your glory. And for the advancement of your kingdom here on this earth. We love you and we give you glory, honor, and praise for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.